I'm Eileen Mancera, co-chair of PE Wins Communications Committee. For those of you joining for the first time, Moments That Made Her is a production of the Private Equity Women's Investor Network, also known as PE Win. We are the preeminent organization for senior-level women investment professionals in private equity. PE Win provides its members with opportunities to network, share ideas, make deep connections with peers, and empower each other to succeed. Our mission is to increase the profile of women in private equity, and our members represent institutions with over $3 trillion in assets under management. To learn more, please visit pewin.org. The host of Moments That Made Her is Kelly Williams. Many of you know Kelly as the founding chair of PE Win, as well as the founder of the legendary private market solution business known as Customized Fund Investment Group, which she and her team grew to manage $30 billion of assets under management until she let it sail in 2014. She is the CEO of the Williams Legacy Foundation and serves on the board of Greenbrier Companies and chairs the board of the Smithsonian American Art Museum. Thank you for joining us for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Moments That Made Her. I'm Kelly Williams, your host and the founding chair of the Private Equity Women Investor Network and the chief executive officer of the Williams Legacy Foundation. Today, or should I say tonight, we're having a wonderful conversation from the other side of the world with my guest, Yuka Hata, who is the managing director and head of fund investments for Japan Investment Corporation. So Yuka-san, hajime mashite.
Hajime mashite.
Welcome to Moments That Made Her, and ohayou gozaimasu, because I know it's morning there.
Yeah, thank you. Ohayou gozaimasu and konbanwa.
Ah, arigatou gozaimasu. So you wow. may know that I went to college in Japan. I went to Kansai Gaidai many years ago. I won't say how many, but I've been wanting to have a guest from Japan on the show, and I'm so glad that it's you. I'm very excited to have you today.
Well, thank you so much for giving such a great opportunity to be on a PWin podcast. And obviously, I understand that you have some experience to live in Japan. And obviously, I wish from our discussion, this conversation, bring you how I really go through the past in really the Japanese, with the Japanese cultures, and also how Japan's become in a good way the different environment for the female professional point of view.
I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that.
Yes.
Obviously, it's changed a lot since I lived there. So I always like to start at the beginning. And so maybe you could tell us a little bit about your early life, where you grew up and how you grew up.
Okay. I was born in Tokyo and I pretty much grew up in Japan, Tokyo itself. I was born as a first child and my father actually, he came from the countryside in the northeast of Japan, which is Yamagata prefectures. And when he came to Tokyo, he really want to achieve himself. So he was actually, in a beautiful way of the expression, as of today, is a startup kind of entrepreneur. But at that time, he was really creating his company to grow his company from scratch. So I was actually the child of the entrepreneurs in a good way. My mom was actually the cabin attendant of Japan Airlines. But then since she married my father, she decided to help my father's business. So they are both pretty much entrepreneurs kind of parents. And when I was really young, probably up to 5-6 years old, because I'm the kind of first child, I was really older than my brother. I more clearly understood at that time, my parents sometime in the night, seriously discussing about something sounds like money. It seems like the shortage of money or whatever. They are seriously discussing about the money. I was grew up in that way. And obviously, when I really become elementary student, I think my father's business in settled down and start to grow over time. And from that experience, I had a chance to see how the banker's behavior really changed to my father. So, you know, I have a quite, in a way, a unique background of the family that really influenced me a lot to bring me the current position.
Well, that is, as you say, very unique. I mean, of course, it's quite unusual for Japanese women to have a job. So having your mom having worked for JAL and then, of course, helping your father start his business and working in the business, very unusual. When I lived in Japan, I lived with a Japanese family. My oto-san worked for JUSCO. His job was basically to build shopping malls, but my oka-san stayed home. She had a daughter. Mm-hmm. And very smart lady. Later in her life, she had a job, but when her children were, or her child was growing up, she didn't. So your family situation is quite unique. Did you have other friends who had moms who were working?
Almost none, to be frank. Obviously, working for the Japan Airline is kind of the status for women to be. But because of my marriage with my father, she really needed to give up her career with a cabin attendant to help my father's business. My mom was quite busy when I was quite a young child, but I still remember that my mom trying to spare the time with me after the work. She taught me English. Every night she was reading English book and she taught me animal name in English. So at the age of 5 or 6, I already knew the animal's name in English, like a hippo or a giraffe, whatever. My mom gave me the quite good influence, mixed up my father's entrepreneurship, the mindset. So that influenced me a lot to open the eye to the world. That is quite rare, obviously, in the Japanese family.
Well, so your dad must have been a pretty compelling guy to convince your mom to marry him and to leave her career at JAL. I remember when I lived in Japan, the view was that a lot of Japanese men wouldn't necessarily want to marry a woman who had lived abroad or who had a job that caused them to travel because they wouldn't really think like a Japanese anymore. They would be a little more worldly. So they must have been a really compelling couple to each other. There mm-hmm. must have been something about each of them that they saw. And then, of course, they had success together with your dad's company.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Actually, at home, my father really helped to prepare the dishes. Obviously, he wasn't really cooking the dishes much. It was always my mom's role to the cooking. However, he actually helped my mom wiping the table and preparing for the rice from the rice cooker, that very simple things. But he is not the type of person sit on the table and ask for the tea or whatever food. That was very typical Japanese family at that time. Because I recall that when I visited my friend's house, I was so shocked and surprised. The father never moved from the table. And it was really the mom's kind of job to serve anything requested by her husband. So I think, yes, I agree that I think I was quite lucky to be in an environment that even father is a company CEO, too. He really helped the family thing a lot at home. So that's the way probably influenced me a lot.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you know, in my Japanese family, they always made a point to let me know that their marriage was not an omiyai, you know, an arranged marriage. It was a marriage mm-hmm. for love. And my oto-san was very kind, a wonderful husband. But he thought it was hysterical when I told him that my own father in America did the laundry. He just thought that was the funniest thing he had ever heard. He just thought it was so absurd that my father would wash clothes. So anyway, so I'd love to hear, what was your first job?
Yes. Yeah, so my first job was working for the venture capital company called JAFCO in Japan. So let me just share with you the story why I decided to join the venture capital firm. If you imagine, at that time, almost none of the people understand the word of the venture capital. I had a chance to study in England for 1 year. And a friend of mine, his father worked for the venture capital in the UK. It's called 3i Investment. So I spoke to my friend and said, look, I always want to work for the entrepreneur like my father who had a strong passion to create a business. Shall I be like a kind of consultant, like a McKinsey or Boston consultant, whatever that? I should pursue more like a consulting, like a business or what else I can be. And then he explained to me, oh, actually, my father is a venture capitalist and working for the 3i Investment. So he explained what the venture capitalist kind of job and how the Silicon Valley kind of looks like, blah, blah, blah. And then I was so excited to hear this kind of profession. Oh, this is something maybe I should pursue in the future. But because I didn't think like I can be the venture capitalist from day one. So then I returned back to Japan and asked my university to become the venture capitalist. What kind of the job I should pursue after the graduation? And then the university staff said, oh, because he found very interesting because I'm a woman first. And then I told him that, oh, I want to be the venture capital. No one else, I think, at that point really asked for such kind of the advice, right? So then obviously he was so excited to help me out. But then, oh, Yuka-san, you just came back from the UK. It was so late because the recruiting process is already really happening. I'm not sure whether you can be in time, but then actually there is a company called JAFCO or other some smaller venture capital firm are actually hiring a new graduate. Maybe I should try out. So I actually really call up in every firm. And I said, I just came back from the UK. Sorry, I'm so late for the recruiting process, but I'm not interested in any position other than the venture capitalist investment professional. Can you hire me? Or can you actually give me the chance to do the interview? Most of the company said, no, I'm afraid you are so late. Recruiting process is already in the middle stage. And you are so late to come back from the UK. I'm sorry, I cannot take your CV. So most of the cases, I was really turned down. But then JAFCO found me really interesting, probably because I'm female. And then I keep saying that I'm only interested in venture capital firm. So then he put me in a process. And I catch up the process. And then finally, I won the position, only one female investment professional. And also for the first time, JAFCO hiring women for the positions. So otherwise, before me, it was only middle back office position for the venture capital firm. So I was really lucky to win that only one position with JAFCO after the new graduate.
That's an incredible story. I mean, it's a testament to your persistence and your confidence that you went ahead and did that. The worst they could say was no. And so at least you tried and it worked out. So you mentioned in your opening remarks, and I want to talk a little bit about what are the turning points or the particular points in your career that you think have led you to becoming a senior person. Obviously, you're a managing director and head of your department. And then also talk a little bit about the environment in Japan and how that's changed during your career.
Yes. So obviously, being an investment professional in the JAFCO sounds very success story. However, you can imagine at that point, only one female new graduate to join, and there's I think 5-6 other women are assigned for the investment professional for the first time at JAFCO. How difficult journey, obviously, being as a woman working for the Japanese corporate at that time. So After 5 years, I decided to leave the company and work for the American firm in Japan. And it was no longer venture capital positions, but working for the kind of the asset management firm and the sort of falling firm in Japan. I actually had a chance to see the female senior positions at that point. So then I felt, oh, working for the foreign companies, which are like a U.S. company, the women can be in that position. That gave me some kind of hint, oh, female can be in a senior position. You can make it. But at the same time, I still wanted to be private equity positions because that was my person where I come from. So then I pursued an MBA, business school, and after business school, I had a chance to work in London, working for the Japanese bank. That is the timing I switched to the LP investment positions. And when I returned from the UK and now I'm working for Japanese Nomura at the time, I was in the gatekeeper positions. I think that why I was able to be in a senior position, because at that point, Nomura wanted to create Asia Fund of Funds. And at that point, many of my colleagues wanted to work for more US or European mandate because it's more developed countries and more exciting and top tier managers you are dealt with. But I decided to initiate this kind of Asia Fund of Funds program scratch that probably lead me to this position because at that time, I always tried to find out how I can be differentiated from other people that I can really create my own value because there are so many very senior LP investment people in this industry in Japan. Obviously, they're all males. And if I really pursue or if I follow what they have done, I cannot be really differentiate myself. So I thought if I'm really doing Asia, at that point, not many people were actually involved in the Asian investment. So after I initiated this kind of Asia Fund of Funds program, and after I took a lead on the team and so on, gradually people becoming aware that, oh, Yuka-san really knew about Asian market in Japan. So I started to be invited to the conference to have a chance to really speak about the Asian opportunities and be, in some extent, respected that Yuka-san knew quite a lot about kind of Asian opportunities. So gradually, I took a pass, okay, how I can be differentiated from others. After that, I had a chance to move to the company, another asset management, and took the co-head of the private equity position. So it was really gradual process that be in this position. And I think to be with GIC, it was also the similar story what I have done for the Nomura. So I opened up the new program and I initiated. And then I started to learn this kind of Japan's kind of VC ecosystem. And people start to know that, oh, Yuka is now taking a lead of kind of Japan domestic VC investment opportunity. The GIC knew that I'm actually involved quite heavily the VC opportunity in Japan. And GIC's role is really how we can develop the VC ecosystem in Japan. That's how I was able to invite it to kind of GIC's kind of this position. So it was a really gradual step. But then each moment, I had a chance to make a judgment what opportunity I should grab for my long-term career perspective.
Right. Well, you know, it's so interesting because it's very often the case that women get leadership positions when it's a job that men don't necessarily want. And so it's great that you had the confidence and you recognized the opportunity because the fact that there was no one doing it meant that if you did it and did it well, you would become known for that. And so clearly it's worked out very well to date. You're somebody who's very well known in the market and has a lot of responsibility. So we're going to take a quick break to hear a little bit about our sponsors, and I will be right back with my guest, Yuka Hata.
We would like to take a brief break to thank PUN's founding partner, KPMG, as well as our gold partners, Asia Alternatives, Dukas Linden Public Relations, Kain Anderson, Kirkland & Ellis, Proskauer, Silver Lake, Thoma Bravo, and TPG. If you are interested in sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at info@pewin.org. Now back to our episode.
Welcome back to Moments That Made Her. I'm Kelly Williams, your host, and I'm joined today by Yuka Hata, who is Managing Director and Head of Fund Investments at Japanese Investment Corp. And we have had such a great conversation. She's had a fascinating career. And I want to ask, maybe this is a little bit of an obvious question, but I want to ask, are there particular moments in your career when you have been made to be self-conscious about the fact that you're a woman? Obviously, you're probably often the only woman, but are there situations you found yourself where you were particularly self-conscious about that?
Yes, it's a very good question, and I don't know what extent I should share with you. But obviously, if you live in Japan, if you are in the professional world in Japan, there are so many moments that make me feel like, okay, I'm really female in that environment.
Well, an obvious one would be somebody coming in and thinking you're the tea lady, right? Instead of... Right?
Yes. Yeah. But obviously, you know, including your previous question, it's been really changing in a good way. But if I recall that when I was a little younger with kind of institutions, and if we have a meeting, and usually, because I really want to speak, I really want to make opinion, but if we have a long table, I'm going to take one of the seat to pick the one available chairs. But then sometimes I look around, I was the only woman to took that really table positions, and the rest of the female professional was really like a kind of sub chairs, really beside the wall or even yes. close to the door. And people probably felt like hesitate to take the chair in the central table. So then I felt like, oh, should I follow them? Am I wrong? And my behavior is wrong or different? That's something always make me feel like, oh, I'm quite probably different woman in the way. And I always feel that way. And also there are always cases that if you're at kind of meeting, it's very common that because the name card change is really the Japan's traditions. And obviously I'm really in a leadership position with other male colleagues. But sometimes our counterparts start to exchange the name card, not from me or from others, colleagues, right? So that's something that I need to really deal with it, right?
Yeah.
But I just let it go.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's unique to Japan. I think many of us, even in the United States, have experienced that. I often tell a story when I was a lawyer, one of my clients was Fuji Bank. And I was working on a big deal with them. And this was back in the days when you communicated by faxes. And so I got a fax addressed to Mr. Williams. And I was like, the Japanese, they're just being sexist. And so finally, when we had our closing dinner, the clients came from Tokyo for the closing dinner. And they met me and realized I was a woman. And they said, oh, we're so sorry. We have a book that have English names in it. And we looked it up and it said the gender of your name, Kelly, is actually a male gender. And it's true. My name is a male name. So they, unlike in America where they just assume you're a man, the Japanese had actually done the work. They did their due diligence. So... I had to forgive
them. Very precise approach, you know.
Very precise, exactly. So let me ask you, Yuka, what do you consider the high point of your career to date?
Oh, yeah, high point, yes. So the high point is always probably when I get the positions, even this is, let's say, the leader of the small team, or even really the division head, I always feel like, oh, this is probably the highest I achieve at that point. But then it's in a good way, straight more and more. And I think probably now working for the government fund and the head of the kind of investment position as a female, that is probably one of the highest, really, I felt like that way. Why? Because in the past, I was really just chasing the deals only to make a return out of it. Now I am working for the country, really working for the future of my daughters. So I felt probably I cannot get any better position that I am being with Jesse right now. This is a position that we can make a change in this kind of environment, ecosystem, and also being as a female professional, you know, in JIC, I'm now pursuing more diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, yeah, I think this is really the positions.
That's great. Well, yeah. As one of my bosses used to say, the reward for good work is more work. So you clearly keep getting more work for your good work. So, you know, we've all experienced success. That's what helped us get to senior roles. But we also experience, however you want to say, setbacks, challenges. And I think most of us would identify them as learning moments. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you would identify in your career where it looked like a challenge, but it actually turned out to be a benefit?
Yes. There are so many failures it's countless. One of the biggest learning is probably my experience working with emerging market Asia opportunities with Nomura at that point. I was covering China, India, and Southeast Asia, some extent to the Middle East, with Nisei positions. And I remember that one of the China managers and the GP, is the right expression, that they ran away from the lover all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing is going to happen because you dealt with emerging managers. And I think that, you know, sometimes the managers probably some make mistake or immatures. And obviously, that's really affected at the end of the day, the product itself. So this learning really helped me a lot to deal with current immature manager in Japan's kind of VC market.
Great. Well, so I want to move to one of my favorite parts of our podcast, which is what we call the lightning round. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions and just ask you to give me a quick answer, whatever comes to your head. And the first question is there a great book that you've read or listened to recently?
Okay, I haven't really completed yet, but I'm reading right now is a book called Rebel Ideas, The Power of Diverse Thinking. It's written by Matthew Side. As I mentioned that with the JIC, we are trying to really pursue this kind of DEI environment in Japan's VC or even private equity ecosystem. And to really learn from the heart, what is diversity, equity, inclusion? This book actually tells me that more in a structural way that why diversity have to be included or incorporated in a kind of firm or even in team. Actually, through the kind of case studies, I learn a lot. So I'm really enjoying this reading, and hopefully that this kind of learning can bring this kind of knowledge into JICs for the DEI project in the future.
I'm not sure most people would understand how radical that concept is, particularly for Japan. I mean, I remember studying sociology when I was in Japan, and this culture and concept of Japanese one-mindedness, that people in Japan think about things the same way, and it's the hallmark of being Japanese. So diversity of thought is actually a very radical thing.
I totally agree. I always felt like actually the challenges deal with any occasion in the Japan's kind of industry or professional world. And one side is obviously maybe nationality. It's quite strong one cultures, educations. And especially on top of that, I think people really quite more unified after they work for the big corporation as a salaryman. More and more, they're strongly trained to bring to the one culture and one thought. So that I felt really challenging working with many Japanese professionals in industry. And that's why even my team, I tried to bring more, not just, you know, gender, nationality as well in my team, and also background itself. Because again, even Japanese like me, there are several different unique person in this country. So I carefully look at kind of CV to make sure he or she has a very unique background, especially who has experience in overseas. So that's something probably we have to start to think about. And also that's something we have to give the guidance to the startup or even to the VC firm, that how you can create a strong team or strong firm with the achievement of the diversity and equity inclusion. That's
great.
I'm still learning from this book.
Yes, of course. We're all still learning. So what is your cell phone wallpaper?
Oh, my cell phone wallpaper. Yes, it's my daughter's. And used to be the picture was my daughter's, the current, very recent pictures. But now I changed the picture when she was probably 4 or 5 years old. More kind of kid face.
Yes.
Recently she asked me, why you change this photo? Do you really love more, you know, the one that I was too much younger? She really asked me. I said, like, no. I still definitely love you and love you more. But sometimes I'm missing.
Yeah.
When she was really like a very, very, you know, very, yeah, very small child, you know.
I think all moms get nostalgic for when their kids were little, right?
Yeah.
And they're just so cute and wide-eyed. And yeah, I understand. So if you had a different career than private equity, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. Can I share a very funny story that when I was in elementary school, probably age of 7, 8 years old, there was a profile book. What I wrote about my future dream, I wanted to be Ultraman. So Ultraman is a kind of the character who fight like a Godzilla. This is not cartoon. This is more like, how to say, the real person really acting kind of drama, but, you know, wearing like a very superhero kind of suits. And he changed it to, you know, kind of superhero and a fight with like a Godzilla or a monster kind of stuff. So I wanted to be the superhero at the time. So I don't know if I cannot, if I don't pursue the private equity, I would like to be the, I think, superhero woman.
I think you are a superhero woman. I think there's probably a lot of women coming up behind you who look to you as a role model and think you're a superhero, that you went out and blazed the trail for them. So maybe you were right when you were a young person that you're not Ultraman, you're Ultrawoman, right? I love that. So
you.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
Oh, interesting questions. I think that I'm more closer to the dog, but when I'm getting older, sometimes I see myself in a cat character, mean that I sometimes feel like I want to have my own time. But otherwise, I'm quite open-minded to the peoples, and I can easily make friends elsewhere in any nationality. So I'm probably quite a friendly person. Maybe closer to the log.
Yeah. Well, my personality, my husband says I'm like a cat. That's actually my nickname. But I always have to explain to people you understand this because you've lived abroad, that in Japan, dogs and cats say different, make different sounds than they make in America, right? Like we say dog, dogs say woof woof, and in Japan they say wah wah, right? Yeah. And then people get a kick out of that. They didn't realize that. But of course, dogs speak different languages and when they live in different countries, right? Yes. So what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Piece of advice? I don't know if this is kind of advice. I always keep this message I receive from my mom and from my English teacher in high school. So from my mom, from the childhood, my mom always told me that, Yuka, even as a woman, you have to be independent economically. So that she always telling me that even as a woman, you have to make money and you have to be economically independent. I'm still keep that in my mind, that the one told from my mom. And the other one is, I love this kind of saying for the English saying that where there is a will, there is a way. So my English teacher said to me, and I love this kind of saying, and I always send this message to anyone who I really want to support and who I really want to love. And even sometimes my team kind of departures, I really want to send this, you know, because the will can, you know, make a dream true. So I always keep that in my mind. I don't know whether this is wise.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, I think that's a great one. And so what's the one thing we don't know about you yet?
One thing you don't know about me. Many people surprised, because people really think me that I'm a really strong woman and very speak out in the conference confidently, whatever. But even including this TV podcast, I usually very, 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 very get nervous. And I'm not a really party people at all. And obviously with my position, sometimes I always invited to the big reception and a kind of party. I always become very nervous, you know, feel uncomfortable if this is really big kind of crowd. But then I always have to go for it, because obviously with my senior position, I have to handle that kind of situation. And now I'm handling this Fiwin podcast.
You've handled it very well. Well, I have to say that I think that's not unusual. I think a lot of people feel that way. And what I always advise people is you have to remember when you're doing public speaking or talking on a podcast that 99% of the people that you're talking to are on your side, right? They want you to succeed. We get it in our heads that there's somebody out there who's going to catch us in a mistake or, but really, I mean, when you sit in an audience and you hear someone talk, you're rooting for them. You want them to do well. And so I think it's important for us to keep that in mind, that the people on the other side really are our allies. They're not wishing for us to fail. And that, I think, makes you a lot calmer when you realize that. When you think about, well, how would I be if I'm on the other side of this? Well, obviously, I want that person to succeed. I think it makes people, makes you feel a little more calm. But yeah. I hope now that we're at the end of the podcast, you feel good about it. You were an amazing guest. We had so much fun.
You.
Such a great conversation. Makes me very nostalgic for Japan. And so I hope when I come back next, we'll have a chance finally to be together and maybe host a PEWIN cocktail party together.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so really wishing to you have a chance to come over to Japan and to see you in person in Japan.
I would love to do that. Well, I want to say domo arigato gozaimasu. Thank you for being my guest tonight on Moments That Made Her. We've had our amazing guest, Yuka Hata, who is Managing Director and Head of Fund Investments at Japan Investment Corporation. You've been a wonderful guest, and I wish you a very good day. Thank you, Yuka.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Moments That Made Her. I'm Scotty Wardell, co-chair of the PEWIN Communications Committee. As a reminder, the content in this recording is for general information purposes only and does not constitute advice. We give no assurance or warranty regarding accuracy, timeliness, or applicability of any of the contents of this recording. This recording is provided as is, and PE Wynn expressly disclaims any and all warranties, express or implied, to the extent permitted by law. Except where acknowledged, the copyright and all intellectual property rights in all material in this recording are owned by PE Wynn and our affiliates and should not be reproduced without our prior written consent. Other organizations or brand names used within this recording are for identification purposes only. The content set forth in this recording may not be sold, reproduced, or distributed without PE Wynn's prior written consent. Any third-party trademarks, service marks, and logos are the property of their respective owners. Any further rights not specifically granted herein are reserved. Thank you again for joining us today, and we hope you tune in for another episode soon.